بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين، والصلاة والسلام على رسوله الأمين وعلى آله وأصحابه أجمعين، أما بعد. We praise Allah Ta'ala and we ask Him to send His salat and salam by raising the rank of His Messenger and granting Him peace, and likewise for all of His companions and family members, as for what follows. And by the grace of Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala, and by His ni'mah, He has blessed us to be a small gathering of His servants who come together every so often, insha'Allah Ta'ala, every week, every Monday. Every Monday night at 11 p.m. insha'Allah Ta'ala, beginning this week, to study the meanings of His glorious speech. And that, insha'Allah Ta'ala, begins with this lecture on the third day, or rather the night of the fourth day, the eve of the fourth day of the month of Rajab in the year 1434. And we have, from the bounties of Allah, been blessed with a level of cooperation with our Salafi brothers from the Mirath al-Anbiya'i website. May Allah Ta'ala bless all of them and all of the mashayikh who cooperate with them, and all of the students of knowledge who cooperate with them, and all of the organizers and broadcasters, and all of those who have a hand in spreading all of this good that they do. May Allah Ta'ala aid them, and may Allah Ta'ala guide their efforts and make their efforts pleasing to Him and guided upon the way of the righteous Salaf. I've been requested to give the topic of tafsir, the explanation of the Quran, specifically the tafsir of Juz al-Dhariyat, the section of the Quran, the 27th section of the Quran, or the 27th juz of the Quran. And we will base our study of this section of the Quran over the coming months and perhaps years, insha'Allah Ta'ala, we'll base our study of this section of the Quran on the words of one of our most beloved and most recognized scholars of this time. May Allah Ta'ala have mercy upon him. He was the great Shaykh Muhammad ibn Salih al-Uthaymeen. May Allah Ta'ala have mercy upon him and extend his grace and his mercy and multiply his great rewards for this man. And may Allah Ta'ala allow us to benefit from the heritage that he left behind. Having said that, we need some matters, some introductory matters to be known amongst us. If we are going to study tafsir, then we need to know what tafsir means. And if we are going to study the tafsir of the Quran, we need to know what the Quran means. And if we are going to study from the book of one of our scholars, we need to recognize who that scholar is and recognize his position and his contributions so as to attach ourselves to our great scholars. So firstly, tafsir, from the Arabic verb fassara, yufassiru tafsiran, it's the verbal noun from the word that means to explain, or give explanation to something, or give details to it. And the tafsir of the Quran is a science in Islam that was founded with the very revelation of Islam, the Quran, the speech of Allah. As Allah Ta'ala, in the Quran, explains what He Himself meant in other verses. An example would be that Allah Ta'ala instructs us to call upon Him in Surah Al-Fatiha and ask Him for guidance, or instructs us to praise Him by calling Him Maliki Yawmiddin. Maliki Yawmiddin, the day of the deen. So, as an explanation for the day of the deen, what is the day of recompense? What is it? In another surah, Surah Al-Infitar, we find Allah Ta'ala saying, وَمَا أَدَرَاكَ مَا يَوْمُ الدِّينِ. And what will let you know what the day of the deen is? ثُمَّ مَا أَدَرَاكَ مَا يَوْمُ الدِّينِ. Then what will let you know, what will help you to understand the reality of the day of the deen, the day of recompense? يَوْمَ لَا يَمْلِكُ نَفْسٌ لِنَفْسٍ شَيْئًا وَالْأَمْرُ يَوْمَئِذٍ لِلَّهِ. The day when no soul will own anything for another soul. No person will be able to help or benefit another person. And the affair that day is entirely for Allah. So who explained the meaning of Maliki Yawm al-Din here? It is Allah Tabarak wa Ta'ala. So tafsir itself is found within the book of Allah. As Allah Ta'ala's book explains parts of it. Allah explains parts of his own book. And furthermore, the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam gave tafsir to the book of Allah Ta'ala. He, for example, when the companions found it difficult to hear that الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا وَلَمْ يَلْبَسُوا إِيمَانَهُمْ بِظُلْمٍ, those, Allah Ta'ala praised, those who have believed and they have not mixed in with their iman, any dhulm. They became stressed, they became worried, saying, who doesn't mix any type of oppression, any type of transgression at all with their belief? And who is free of sin, basically? And they became very worried for themselves, as they were pious, noble, pure souls. اصطفاهم الله لصحبة نبيه. They were chosen by Allah to be the very companions of the finest of His creation, the Messenger Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So they were worried for themselves. And our Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam clarified, that's not what Allah Ta'ala intended. Rather, the dhulm here is a shirk. Haven't you read the statement of Allah, of Luqman, that when he said to his son, لا تشرك بالله إن الشرك لظلم عظيم. Don't make shirk with Allah, because verily shirk is the great crime. It is the great dhulm, the great form of oppression. So in this hadith of the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, you see that he guided his companions and those who would follow their way to understanding the book of Allah. So he gave tafsir of the Qur'an, using the Qur'an. This is called tafsir al-Qur'an, bil-Qur'an. And when the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam explains the Qur'an, then it's called tafsir bil-Sunnah, or tafsir nabawi. That the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam explains the Qur'an. And he taught the Qur'an and its meanings to his Sahaba as a text and with explanations. And he had great companions, the likes of Abdullah ibn Abbas radiyallahu anhuma, may Allah be pleased with him and his father, who the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam made a special dua for. Allahumma alimhu at-ta'wil wa faqihhu fid-deen. O Allah, give him knowledge of ta'wil. And ta'wil here is a synonym for tafsir. And give him fiqh in the religion. And the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam had his prayer answered by Allah Ta'ala, as Abdullah ibn Abbas went on to become from the most outstanding scholars of this entire ummah, from amongst the greatest of the companions and the most knowledgeable of them, especially with affairs related to the Qur'an. And Abdullah ibn Abbas taught the Qur'an, its recitation, the waqf and the wasal, when you stop, when you continue, what's general, what's specific. He taught the sciences of tafsir that he learned from the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam to his students, like Mujahid ibn Jabr, like Alta ibn Abi Rabah, and so on. And these great tabi'een were imams of tafsir. And they went on to teach their students, and so on. Until you have great scholars of Islam gathering the tafsir of the Qur'an into books. The likes of Al-Imam Al-Bukhari and the Imams of the Sunan who gathered the narrations. And many of them gathered a kitab, a tafsir, in their jami', in their larger work of hadith. And some of them began to write books specifically, not about hadith collection in general, but about tafsir of the Qur'an specifically. In the 3rd century, you have a number of writings. Into the 4th century, you have a number of writings, like Al-Akhfash, Al-Zajjaj. You have you have Ibn Abi Hatim, you have Al-Tabari, Ibn Jarir Al-Tabari, all of these are 3rd and 4th century scholars of tafsir. One of the greatest tafsirs written in the 4th century was Ibn Jarir Al-Tabari's Jami' al-Bayan, Jami' al-Bayan, Fi Ta'wili Ayi al-Qur'an, the clarification of the meanings of the verses of the Qur'an, by Ibn Jarir Al-Tabari, Ibn Abi Hatim as well, as I mentioned to you, and so on. Later Al-Qurtubi, Ibn Kathir, and the great scholars that you have heard about who've given a tafsir to the Book of Allah, with their different styles and their different focus and their different specializations, all of that builds a gigantic library for us and a gigantic group of resources that we call Masadir al-Tafsir, the resources that we use to investigate, to research, and to learn about the tafsir of the Quran. So tafsir now means explanation. Specifically, it is al-kashf wal-idah لمراد الله تعالى من كلامه المنزل على محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم. As the scholars mention, with a few different phrases, this is the general idea of the definition of tafsir. Tafsir is an exposition or an explanation of the intended meanings of the speech of Allah that He sent down to Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And as you know, the Qur'an is the speech of Allah. مِنْهُ بَدَى وَإِلَيْهِ يَعُودُ. It appeared from Allah Ta'ala and it shall return to Allah Ta'ala. It is not created. It is the speech of Allah, an attribute of Allah Ta'ala. It is not a created thing. Whoever said the speech of Allah Ta'ala is created is a disbeliever in the Book of Allah. Allah Ta'ala has referred to the speech of Allah, the Qur'an, as His speech, His attributes. His attributes are not created. وَإِنْ أَحَدٌ مِنَ الْمُشْرِكِينَ اسْتَجَارَكَ فَأَجِرْهُ حَتَّى يَسْمَعَ كَلَامَ اللَّهِ. If one of the polytheists seeks protection from you, O Muhammad, then grant him that protection until, or so on, so that he could hear the speech of Allah. So he could hear the speech of Allah. The speech of Allah is written in the mushafs. The speech of Allah is recited on the tongues. And the speech of Allah is memorized in the hearts. The great Imam Ahmad ibn Hanbal rahimahullah ta'ala, who fought with the great jihad against the Jahmiyya, he taught this ummah that the Qur'an, we interact with the Qur'an in 5 major ways. All of that being the Qur'an. You should really pay attention, because you have mufsidun, muta'alimun. You have people who are corrupt. You have people who pretend to have knowledge of Islam. And they talk about the Qur'an in a way that is exactly how the Jahmiyyah used to speak about the Qur'an, or very similar to it. We say what Imam Ahmad said. The Qur'an is looked upon by the human eye. Let's go beyond that, or before that. It is written by the human hand on paper. What you write on the paper, the end result, the writing, is the speech of Allah. Tayyib, so it's written by the hand. It's read by the eye. The eye looks down on the paper and sees the Book of Allah. We interact with the Book of Allah, the speech of Allah, by writing it in the mushaf, by reading it with the eyes, by listening to it with the ears, by reciting it upon our tongues, and by memorizing it within our chests. We have these 5 ways of interaction with the Book of Allah. And in each case, it is the Qur'an. We don't say like the Jahmiyya say, the Qur'an cannot be something written on paper. The Qur'an is not a book. The Qur'an is only in the Lawh al-Mahfuz. The Qur'an is not the speech of Allah. It is only meanings that He created and sent down. La, we reject all of these false beliefs. And we say the Qur'an is the speech of Allah. When we write it on paper, when we read it from the paper, when we recite it from our tongues, when we memorize it within our hearts, and when we hear it with our ears, all of that is the speech of Allah, not a created thing. don't be led astray by those who speak ill of the Book of Allah and violate this aqidah which has ijma' behind it. This is the ijma' of Ahl Sunnah right here. Ijma', total consensus of the Muslim scholars that this is our understanding of the Book of Allah. None. So we are in these sessions, insha'Allah ta'ala, coming together to study tafsir of the Quran by the Shaykh Muhammad ibn Salih al-Uthaymeen, rahimahullah ta'ala, who died in the year 1420, about 14 years ago, rahimahullah ta'ala. And a little note about this great scholar before we begin, so we'll know who we are studying from. He was born in Unayza, in the Qasim region of Saudi Arabia, in the late nights of Ramadan in 1347, which corresponds to, on the Christian calendar, March 9th, 1929. He studied under the likes of Sheikh Abdurrahman ibn Nasir al-Sa'di, and he studied under the likes of the Sheikh of Tafsir of his time, Sheikh Muhammad al-Amin al-Shinqiti, and he studied under the great Mufti that is well known, Sheikh Abdulaziz bin Abdullah ibn Ibaz. May Allah Ta'ala have mercy on all of them. The Shaykh is well known, Shaykh Ibn Uthaymeen is well known all over the world. His classes that were recorded 40 years ago, and so they are the books that you see now. Many of the books, or perhaps most of the books that you see now, printed by the charitable foundation of Ibn Uthaymeen, were his classes. They are transcriptions of his classes and organized for publication by his family members and by those who has entrusted to do that in his charitable foundation. And the book that we will study from has been printed under the name Tafsir al-Qur'an al-Karim, the explanation of the Qur'an, the noble Qur'an al-Hujurati, Qaf, the Al-Dhariyati, Al-Tur, Al-Najm, Al-Qamar, Al-Rahman, Al-Waqi'ah, Al-Hadid. These surahs, Surah Al-Hujurat, Qaf, Al-Dhariyat, and those that I mentioned. Naam. And we will start with Al-Dhariyat, because Surah Al-Dhariyat, or very close to the beginning of Surah Al-Dhariyat, marks the beginning of the 27th juz of the Qur'an. And hopefully, by Allah's grace, we could contribute with these lessons of ours, and perhaps through some of your efforts, for those of you who wish to push yourselves and contribute and study with more purpose and dedication than others, we can contribute some resources that will remain behind us and will remain a benefit for people after we are gone, aiding the spread of the correct understanding of Islam through the teachings of one of the great scholars of Islam, Muhammad ibn Salih al-Uthaymeen. Tayyib. Having said that, we will begin, and we'll notice that my method of teaching from the book of Shaykh Muhammad ibn Salih al-Uthaymeen is to focus very heavily on the reading of his words in Arabic. And that is for a number of benefits. From them, for myself, for review for myself, to be precise in my own reading of the book and to make sure that I understand it properly. And as well for those of you who are studying Arabic, as every Muslim should be on some level or another pushing himself or herself to study the Arabic language. So one of the greatest benefits of this approach is that you can hear the Arabic expressions one by one, and right after them, the English meanings of those expressions. And this will help you to connect those expressions and to connect some vocabulary from what you already know to new words, perhaps. And I hope that Allah Ta'ala will cause this to be beneficial to all of you. A few notes just before I begin reading. Aside from tafsir, the definition of tafsir, what are the sciences of tafsir? Just in brief, just so we know what we're talking about when we say tafsir, the sciences of the Qur'an and the sciences of tafsir. There are things like this, and I'll mention a few of them. Al-'am wal-khas. General verses and specific verses. Let's say, al-mutashabihat wal-muhkamat. The unclear verses and the clear verses. Al-makki wal-madani. The Meccan revelations and the Madani revelations. Let's say, al-nasikh wal-mansukh. Verses that abrogate other verses which are abrogated. Let us say, as well, al-munasabat, connecting the meanings of the end of a surah to the beginning of the next one, or the end of one ayah to the beginning of the next one. And the siyaq in general, the lihaq and the sibaq, very important principles of tafsir. Context, what comes before the passage you are studying and what comes after it, part of munasabat as well, part of the study of the context of the verses. As well, we have the language of the Qur'an, the gharib of the Qur'an. What are words that are in the Qur'an that are not easily understood by anyone who knows Arabic? We have as well many different sciences that we could talk about for a long time. However, we'll be referring to those as we come across them. With the help of Allah Ta'ala and His Mashi'ah, His permission, and by His will. So let us now, after understanding what tafsir is, or a bit about what tafsir includes, and we've mentioned who the first one to give tafsir was, Rabbul Alameen, giving tafsir to his own book, and then his messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and then his companions and so on. We've talked about some of the more important books of tafsir. Let us begin with a study of the book of our Shaykh Muhammad ibn Salih al-Uthaymeen. And the printing that I have is from Dar al-Thuriyya, which is the company that prints the charitable foundations printings of his books. It is the first printing by that company, printed in the year 1425, which corresponds to 2004. Tafsir Surah Al-Dhariyat, the explanation of Surah Al-Dhariyat. Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. Allah Ta'ala begins the Surah with, in the name of Allah, Ar-Rahman, Ar-Rahim. And the explanation of, with the name of Allah, the Most Merciful, the Ever Merciful, the Shaykh says, تَقَدَّمَ الْكَلَامُ عَلَى الْبَسْمَلَةِ. He has already explained the meaning of the Basmala. And as well in the English language. And from this miskeen teacher, you can find an explanation of the Basmala. In the beginning of our study of the tafsir of Surah Al-Fatiha, I believe it was from last Ramadan or the Ramadan before that, with our brothers from Troyd. And those lectures are available. There were three lectures on Surah Al-Fatiha from the works of who? Shaykh Muhammad ibn Salih Al-Uthaymeen. So, the meaning that the Shaykh is intending here will refer you to the origin of that, of where he has spoken, and that's the beginning of the tafsir of the Qur'an, right at the beginning of Surah Al-Fatiha, where you will find the most explanation of the phrase Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. And so we'll suffice ourselves with referring you to that. Of course, it would be the first audio out of the three audios. And of course, it would be very close to the beginning. وَالذَّارِيَاتِ ذَرْوَى فَالْحَامِلَاتِ وِقْرَى فَالْجَارِيَاتِ يُسْرَى فَالْمُقَسِّمَاتِ أَمْرًا. Allah Ta'ala swears by four things in the beginning of this surah. And we will now look at the four things that he swears by. أَقْسَمَ اللَّهُ تَعَالَى بِهَذِهِ الْمَخْلُوقَاتِ. Allah Ta'ala swears by these created things. لِأَنَّهَا دَالَّةٌ عَلَىٰ عَظَمَتِهِ تَبَارَكَ وَتَعَالَىٰ. Because they are things that prove his greatness. Blessed and Most High be He. وَلِمَا فِيهَا مِنَ الْمَصَالِحِ وَالْمَنَافِعِ. And due to what is beneficial and productive from those, what is good and upright and wholesome and beneficial from those things. أَمَّا قَوْلُهُ وَالذَّارِيَاتِ ذَرْوَى. As for his statement, وَالذَّارِيَاتِ ذَرْوَى. And you might say, well, you haven't told us the English meaning. then that is coming, because everything we're talking about here will be an explanation in detail of the meanings of these verses. فَذَّرِيَاتُ, the first word is a ذَرِيَات. Allah swears by the ذَرِيَات. فَذَّرِيَاتُ هِيَ الرِّيَاحُ تَذَرُ التُّرَابَ وَغَيْرَ التُّرَابِ. It is the ذَرِيَات, or the winds. The winds that blow around the dust and other things. قَالَ اللَّهُ تَبَارَكُ وَتَعَالَى. Allah says, and He is the Blessed and Most High, فَأَصْبَحَ هَشِيمًا تَذْرُوهُ الرِّيَاحُ, became hashiman, became dried up, and the wind would blow it about. Right? And this is from Surah Al-Kahf, where Allah Ta'ala says, وَضْرِبْ لَهُمْ مَثَلَ الْحَيَاةِ الدُّنْيَا كَمَا إِنْ أَنْزَلْنَاهُ مِنَ السَّمَاءِ فَاخْتَلَطَ بِهِ نَبَاتُ الْأَرْضِ فَأَصْبَحَ هَشِيمًا تَذْرُوهُ الرِّيَاحُ. And give the example to them of the parable of this worldly life. It is like water that is sent down from the heavens, and it mixes with the plants of the earth, meaning it produces vegetation. Then it becomes dried and blown away in the wind. تَذْرُوهُ الرِّيَاحُ. So you have here الرِّيَاح being mentioned with the verb تَذْرُو, from ذَرَى يَذْرُو. That is, طَيَّرَهُ وَأَذْهَبَهُ, to pick it up in the wind and to blow it away. So Allah Ta'ala has mentioned that the wind blows things away. أَيْ تَفَرُّقَهُ فِي أَمْكِنَةٍ مُتَعَدِّدَةٍ. And that when these plants are dried up and blown away, then they're scattered in many different places. وَأَقْسَمَ اللَّهُ بِالذَّارِيَاتِ. Allah Ta'ala swears by these blowing winds that pick up the dust and the dirt and the dried up plants. He swears by them, لِمَا فِيهَا مِنَ الْمَصَالِحِ الْكَثِيرَةِ, due to what is in them of great benefit. فَفِي تَصْرِيفِهَا حِكْمَةٌ بَالِغَةٌ. In the sending forth of these winds and in their pathways, there is a very profound wisdom. فَمِنْهَا الرِّيَاحُ الدَّافِئَةُ. There are warm winds. وَمِنْهَا الرِّيَاحُ الْبَارِدَةُ. And there are cold winds. عَلَى حَسَبِ مَا تَقْبَضِيهِ حِكْمَةُ اللَّهِ. Based on whatever the wisdom of Allah Ta'ala Azza wa Jal, mighty and majestic, from His wisdom based on what He has decided. وَلِأَنَّ الرِّيَاحَ تُثِيرُ سَحَابًا فَتُسْقِي بِهِ اللَّهُ الْأَرْضِ فَيُسْقِي بِهِ اللَّهُ الْأَرْضِ. And because the winds, they carry about the clouds as well. They push along the clouds. And through them, Allah Ta'ala provides drink for the planet. وَلِأَنَّهَا تُسَيِّرُ السُّفُنِ. And these winds also push along the boats, the sailboats, and the boats that require wind. فَفِيهَا فَفِيمَا سَبَقَ. In the past days, كَانَتَ السُّفُنُ تَجْرِي عَلَى الرِّيَاحِ. The ships used to sail only by the power of the wind. قَالَ اللَّهُ تَعَالَى. Allah the Most High has said, حَتَّى إِذَا كُنْتُمْ فِي الْفُلْكِ وَجَرَيْنَ بِهِمْ بِرِيحٍ طَيِّبَةٍ فَرِحُوا وَفَرِحُوا بِهَا جَاءَتْهَا رِيحٌ عَاصِفٌ وَجَاءَهُمُ الْمَوْجُ مِنْ كُلِّ مَكَانٍ. And then they would go on the ocean in a ship, and nice winds would push them along, and they would be so happy with these nice winds. And then a horrible hurricane or a wind that is very powerful would come and produce huge waves that would come from every direction. And this is from Surah Yunus. Allah Ta'ala mentions in that surah how Allah Ta'ala sends the winds to control the waves and to control the boats and their pathways and their directions. Then Allah Ta'ala says in the second verse, after the first verse being, وَذَّارِيَاتِ ذَرْوَى. Allah says, I swear by the ذَارِيَات, by the winds that blow things about. فَالْحَامِلَاتِ وِقْرَى. فَالْحَامِلَاتِ وِقْرَى. وَالْمُرَادُ بِهَا السَّحَابِ. The meaning of الْحَامِلَاتِ, the things that carry things, it is the clouds. تحمل المياه الموقرة, carries the respected water, the important water, أي المثقلة, محملة, that which is موقرة, يعني from the word وقرة, موقرة, أي مثقلة, محملة, it's been made to be heavy, these clouds are made heavy, and they carry things in them, meaning the water that is going to come down. قال الله تعالى, تبارك وتعالى, Allah, the Blessed and Most High, says, هو الذي يريكم البرق خوفا وطمعا. He's the one who shows you the lightning to cause fear and to bring hope. وينشئ السحاب الثقال. And he's the one who creates and brings into existence the big, thick clouds. فهي ثقيلة محملة بمياه عظيمة بحار. They are heavy clouds carrying great amounts of water, like oceans of water. ولذلك تمطر فتجري الأرض أنهارا بإذن الله. And thus they produce rain, and you find that the rivers of the earth rush forward with their rain by the permission of Allah Azza wa Jal, the Mighty and Majestic. فالذاريات الرياح. So the first thing Allah swears by here are the winds. والحاملات. And the second thing, the clouds. السحب, the clouds. والارتباط بينهما ظاهر. The connection between these two things is very clear. لأن الرياح هي التي تثير السحاب. As winds, they are the things that push along the clouds. وَهِيَ الَّتِي تُلْقِحُ السَّحَابَ بِالْمَاءِ. They're the things that push and shove into the clouds the water, make them thick and heavy. قَالَ اللَّهُ تَعَالَى وَأَرْسَلْنَا الرِّيَاحَ لَوَاقِحَ فَأَنْزَلْنَا مِنَ السَّمَاءِ مَاءً فَأَسْقَيْنَاكُمُوهُ. And we have sent forth the winds as لَوَاقِح. لَوَاقِح means things that impregnate or put something inside of something else. So these winds are لَوَاقِح, and they make the clouds heavy and thick with water. And then Allah sends down from the heavens water, and He gives you drink from that water. فَالْجَارِيَاتِ. Now the third thing Allah swears by is الْجَارِيَاتِ. جاريات, the things that تجري, the things that move along. And here, هن السفن. The meaning here is ships. يسرى, أي بسهولة. And by the ships that sail so freely and with such ease. قال الله تبارك وتعالى, Allah the Blessed and Most High says, إنا لما طغى الماء حملناكم في الجارية. Verily, that we once the water rose up to a very high level beyond what you could tolerate, we carried you on the Jariya. We carried you on the Jariya, meaning we carried Nuh alayhi as-salatu was-salam on the ship. Ay, the safina. هذه السفينة ميسرة بإذن الله. And that ship was made easy to float about by the permission of Allah Azza wa Jal, the Mighty and Majestic. بِمَا يَسَّرَهُ اللَّهُ تَعَالَى مِنَ الرِّيَاحِ الطَّيِّبَةِ. Through what Allah had made easy, Allah the Most High had made easy through the nice calm winds. كُلَّمَا كَانَتَ الرِّيحُ مُنَاسَبَةً كَانَ سَيْرُهَا أَيْسَرَ. And every time the winds are appropriate for sailing, you find that it's even easier to sail. والآن جاءت السفن النارية. Now in these times we have motor boats, or boats that are powered by electricity. التي لا تحتاج إلى الرياح, that don't need any wind to move along. فصارت أيسر وأيسر. So now the yusra that Allah was talking about, فالجاريات يسرى, by the ships that sail about so easily, now it's even easier and easier. أيوة أيسر وأيسر. تجدها قرى كاملة تمخر عباب الماء وتسير بسهولة. You find them like villages floating on the water. You've seen the yachts and the big gigantic cruise ships, right? Just floating about and pushing with this sound, just pushing forth the little waves of water aside. And doing that with such ease. What is the connection? And what's the connection between these three ideas? That the winds carry the rainwater. And the clouds, the second thing mentioned, carries the rain. And then it comes down to the earth. فَيَكُونَ الرِّزْقُ لِلْمَوَاشِ وَالْآدَمِيِّينَ And it becomes provisions for the animals and for people. وَالْجَارِيَاتُ أَيَسْسُفُنْ And the third thing Allah swears by are the ships on the ocean. وَهِيَ أَيْضًا تَحْمِلُ الْأَرْزَاقُ مِنْ جِهَةٍ إِلَى جِهَةٍ They carry provisions of the people from place to place. فَلَا يُمْكِنُ أَنْ تَصِلَ الْأَرْزَاقُ مِنْ جِهَةٍ إلى جهة أخرى بينها وبين بينها بحر إلا عن طريق السفن And there is no way for provisions to be carried from one place to another place except by way of those ships. نعم فالمقسمات أمرا And the fourth thing that Allah Ta'ala begins by swearing by in the beginning of this surah is المقسمات Amran, those things that divide up the orders or follow through with the orders and divide things up. هم الملائكة They are the angels. وَجَمْعُهُمْ وَجَمَعَهُمْ لِأَنَّهُ يَجُوزُ جَمْعُ الْمُؤَنَّثِ بِاعْتِبَارِ الْجَمَاعَاتِ He's mentioning an Arabic language point here. Instead of saying فَالْمُقَسِّمَةِ He said فَالْمُقَسِّمَاتِ They are الملائكة المقسمة And Allah calls them مُقَسِّمَاتِ It's allowed to use the plural form for females for groups. There were groups of angels. جماعات أي فجماعات المقسمات There are groups and groups of مقسمات أمرا التي تقسم الأمر أي شؤون الخلق Those that come and distribute the orders from Allah Ta'ala regarding the affairs of the creation. ويحتمل أن يكون أمرا It's also possible that the word أمر means by the order of Allah. Amr could mean order, like I order you to do something, or it could mean affair, like a sha'n. So here, it could mean that they distribute the orders of Allah, meaning the affairs that are to set place from the qadr of Allah, they implement them by the permission of Allah, Or it could be بِأَمْرِ اللَّهِ By the order and command of Allah. They do that. تَقْسِيم وَالْمَعْنَى الصَّحِيحُ وَالْمَعْنَى صَحِيحٌ عَلَى كِلَى التَّقْدِيرَيْنِ The meaning is correct on both of these meanings. Both of these meanings give us correct understandings. نعم فَإِنَّ الْمَلَائِكَةَ عَلَيْهِمُ الصَّلَاةُ وَالسَّلَامُ يُقَسِّمُونَ مَا يُرِيدُ اللَّهُ عَزَّ وَجَلَّ مِنْ أَرْزَاقِ الْخَلْقِ وَغَيْرِهَا بِأَمْرِ اللَّهِ عَزَّ وَجَلَّ For verily the angels, may Allah raise their ranks and grant them peace, they distribute what Allah wants them to distribute. Allah is mighty and majestic. Of the creation, of the provisions for the creation, they distribute it and take it where Allah orders them to take it. By the command of Allah, the Mighty and Majestic. هذه أربع جمل. Here are four sentences to begin this surah. There are four things that Allah Ta'ala swears by. الذاريات, الحاملات, الجاريات, and المقسمات. كل هذه مقسم بها. All of these things are oaths taken by Allah. Or things that Allah has sworn by. وَالْمُقْسَمُ عَلَيْهِ And then what is what He is going to inform us of? What is the result of this? When Allah Ta'ala swears by something, there's going to be a very relevant statement, information, or a command coming after it. What is that comes after it? وَالْمُقْسَمُ عَلَيْهِ And that which is the information that Allah is swearing by the accuracy of it, he says, إِنَّمَا تُوْعَدُونَ لَصَادِقٌ. What you have been promised, it is indeed truthful. It's indeed real. That's the fifth verse. The fifth verse is the piece of information that is the reason for these, that Allah has sworn by these four things to tell you, إِنَّمَا تُوْعَدُونَ لَصَادِقٌ. What you have been promised is real. يعني ما وعدكم الله تعالى فهو وعد صادق. Everything Allah promised you is a true and real promise. والصادق هو المطابق للواقع. A صادق, true and real, means that it will be in accordance to the reality of what happens. وذلك لأن الخبر نوعان. And that's because reports of information, they are of two types. نوعٌ يخالف الواقع. One type goes against the reality that has taken place. وَهَذَا يُسَمَّى كَذِبًا. This is what is known as a lie. وَنَوْعٌ يُطَابِقُ الْوَاقِعِ. And another kind of report that is in correspondence or in it coexists with what really happens. It accurately describes what has really happened. وَهَذَا يُسَمَّى صِدْقًا. That is called truthfulness, accuracy, truth, realism. سواء كان المخبر عنه ماضا أو مستقبلا. This is whether what has been, what information was given was either about the past or the future. It should be سواء كان المخبر عنه ماضيا. For those of you who have the Arabic and you're with me on the top of page 117, you might want to underline the word ماضي and put ماضيا, as it would be منسوب أو مستقبلا. فأقسم الله عز وجل. So Allah, the Mighty and Majestic, swore بهذه المخلوقات, by these created things, على إنما نواعد إنما نواعد صادقا أو إنما نواعد نحن صادقا. He has sworn by these four things, by these created things, that what we have been promised is real and accurate and truthful. فَلَا بُدَّ أَنْ يَقَعَ. And it must take place. إِذَا وَقَعَ مَا نُوَعَدْ. If the things that we have been promised take place, then it will happen. وَهُوَ الْبَعْثُ يَوْمَ الْقِيَامَةِ يَتْلُوهُ الْجَزَاءُ. And the reality of it is, it is the idea of us being dispatched from our graves after our deaths on the Day of Judgment. And after that will be the account, that we will be held accountable for what we did. وَلِهَذَا قَالْ وَإِنَّ الدِّينَ لَوَاقِعْ. Sixth verse. And verily the deen, the recompense, is something that is sure to happen. الدِّينُ يَعْنِ الْجَزَى. The deen is the reward or the recompense. وَالدِّينُ يُطْلَقُ أَحْيَانًا بِمَعْنَ الْجَزَى. And sometimes the word deen is used to mean recompense, reward. وَأَحْيَانًا بِمَعْنَ الْعَمَلِ. And sometimes it's used to mean a deed. The deen is a deed. فَفِي قَوْلِهِ تَعَالَ لَكُمْ دِينُكُمْ وَلِيَ دِينَ. And to you your deeds, and to me mine. المراد به العمل. The intended meaning of the deen in that verse from Surah Al-Kafirun is deeds, actions. وَفِي قَوْلِهِ تَبَارَكَ وَتَعَالَ مَالِكِ يَوْمِ الدِّينَ. And in the statements of Allah the Most High, and the Exalted One, the owner of the Day of Deen, al-muradu bihi al-jaza. The meaning of Deen here is the Day of Recompense. وَهُنَا وَإِنَّ الدِّينَ لَوَاقِعٌ. And here, that verily the Deen is going to happen, أي الجزاءُ لا بد أن يقع. The recompense must take place. لأن الله على كل شيء قدير. Because Allah is all-powerful over everything. وَقَدْ قَالَ اللَّهُ تَعَالَى يَوْمَ تَشَقَّقُ الْأَرْضُ عَنْهُمْ سِرَاعًا ذَلِكَ حَشْرٌ عَلَيْنَا يَسِيرٌ. From Surah Qaf, the 44th verse, the day when the earth will open up on them quickly, or the day when the earth will open up and they will come out quickly, that's the day of gathering that will be easy for us. That's the day of gathering. That's the gathering that is easy for us. وَالسَّمَاءِ ذَاتِ الْحُبُكِ. I don't know, I wanted to keep these lessons short. However, we haven't covered much from the book. Ishbiru ma'i shway. Continue with me a little bit. What do you think? A few more minutes. I have no, right now as it is, I have no way of knowing if you're sleeping, if you're awake, if you're following, if you have a question, if you're confused. I have no way of knowing for so far now, until there's a way to address that. You have to excuse me for that, because I do like to be involved with the students to know if they're with me, if they want me to continue, if they want me to stop, and so on. Right now, I don't have any way to gauge that. But we'll continue. وَالسَّمَاءِ ذَاتِ الْحُبُكِ. Allah Ta'ala begins to swear now again. وَالسَّمَاءِ ذَاتِ الْحُبُكِ. And Allah Ta'ala swears by the sky. ذَاتِ الْحُبُكِ. That which has different pathways in it. And we'll explain that with the words of our Shaykh here. السَّمَاءُ مَعْرُوفَ. The sky, the heavens, that's something well known. That بِمَعْنَ صَاحِبَ. That means صَاحِبَةُ كَذَا. صَاحِبَةُ الْحُبُكِ. الحبك الطرق, pathways, يعني الطرق. أي أنها من حسنها كأنها ذات طرق محبوكة متقنة. From its beauty, the beauty of the sky, it's like it has waves of lines and pathways in it that are perfectly produced. كما يكون ذلك في جبال الرمل. Like you see in sand dunes, lines, you know, that are in perfect sequence and a perfect thing of beauty. يضربها الهوى يضربها الهوى فتكون مضلعة. The winds, you know, strike these sand dunes and produce them in this way that they bend over a little bit and they have these shapes. إذن السماء كذلك. And then the sky has this kind of beauty in it. إِنَّكُمْ لَفِي قَوْلٍ مُخْتَلِفٍ. You are, or I'm sorry, all of you, you are in a confused state. All of you have different statements. And the addressed, those who are being addressed here are the disbelievers. As our Shaykh says, إِنَّكُمْ الْخِطَابُ لِلْكَافِرِينَ. The address here is towards the disbelievers. لَفِي قَوْلٍ مُخْتَلِفٍ. You're in a, you all have statements that are in disagreement with each other. يعني يختلف بعضه عن بعض. Contradictory. فبعض الكفار قالوا للرسول عليه الصلاة والسلام إنه مجنون. Some of the disbelievers, they said to the messenger, may Allah raise his rank and grant him peace, that he's crazy. وبعضهم قالوا إنه ساحر. Some of them said he's a sorcerer or a magician. وبعضهم قالوا إنه كاهن. Some of them said he's a soothsayer. وَبَعْضُهُمْ قَالَ إِنَّهُ شَاعِرٌ. And some of them said he's a poet. وَبَعْضُهُمْ قَالَ إِنَّهُ كَذَّابٌ. And some of them said he's a liar. فَهُمْ مُخْتَلِفُونَ فِي النَّبِيِّ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمَ. They differed about their stance on the Prophet. May Allah raise his rank and grant him peace. وَاخْتِلَافُ الْأَقْوَالِ يَدُلُّ عَلَى كَذِبِهَا وَفَسَادِهَا. And the contradictory nature of statements show that they are lies and that they are corrupt. وَكُلَّمَا رَأَيْتَ قَوْلًا مُخْتَلِفًا مُتَنَاقِضًا فَعْلَمْ أَنَّهُ بَاطِلٌ. Every time you see a statement that is self-contradictory, then you should know it's falsehood. وَلَيْسَ بِصَحِيحٍ. And it could not be correct. لِأَنَّ الْحَقَّ لَا يُمْكِنْ أَنْ يَتَنَاقَضْ. Because the truth could never be self-contradictory. I'll add a note here that Allah Ta'ala says, أَفَلَا يَتَدَبْرُونَ الْقُرْآنِ. Don't they contemplate the Qur'an? وَلَوْ كَانَ مِنْ عِنْدِ غَيْرِ اللَّهِ لَوَجَدُوا فِيهِ اخْتِلَافًا كَثِيرًا. Had it been from other than Allah, then surely they would have found much differing, much contradiction in it. From Surah An-Nisa, the 82nd verse. Back to the words of our Shaykh. فَهَؤُلَاءِ الْمُكَذِّبُونَ. Those people who rejected the messenger, للرسول عليه الصلاة والسلام, may Allah raise his rank and grant him peace, اختلفوا هذا الاختلاف. This is the kind of differing that they fell into. يؤفك عنه من أفك بمعنى يصرف. Those, some of them will be kept away from it. Some of them will be away from that differing. Here's the meaning of that. قيل إن الضمير يعود على الرسول صلى الله عليه وسلم أي يصرف عن الرسول صلى الله عليه وسلم من صرف من الناس. So it will be the case that some of you will be turned away from the Prophet. Whoever turned away, he turned away. يؤفك عنه من أفك يعني عن النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم. That's the first meaning. وقيل إن الضمير يعود على القوم يؤفك عنه عن القوم. وعلى هذا القول تكون عن بمعنى الباء. أيؤفك بهذا القول من أفك؟ يؤفك القوم بهذا القول من أفك؟ نعم. That whoever of the people turns away, he'll be turned away. يصرف بهذا القول عن الحق من صرف. أو يصرف بهذا القول عن الحق من صرف. Whoever is turned away from this statement, the Quran, he'll be turned away. وَهُمَا عَيَا الْمَعْنَيَانِ مُتَلَازِمَانِ. These two meanings, they are actually connected and they have to coexist. وَالْأَقْرَبُ أَنَّ الضَّمِيرَ فِي قَوْلِهِ عَنْهُ يَعُودُ عَلَى الْقَوْمِ لِأَنَّهُ أَقْرَبُ مَذْكُورٌ. And the closest understanding of the ضمير or the pronoun in عنه, عن something, عن what, it goes back to the people, the tribe, the disbelievers. That they are the ones who will be kept away or turned away because they are the closest things mentioned. And then you see a principle in linguistic tafsir. It is that الضمائر تعود على أقرب مذكور في الأصل. That as an أصل, that the ضمير usually goes back to, and it usually refers to pronouns, just like in English. Pronouns generally go back to the first suitable noun that could be used in the place of that pronoun. يُؤْفَكُ عَنْهُ أي عن هذا القول أي بسببه. That some people will be kept away from it, from this statement, from this word, from this Quran. بسببه, right? Because of it. مَنْ أُفِك, whoever has been turned away. أي من صرف عن الحق, whoever has been turned away from the truth. وذلك لأن من البيان لسحرا. That's because some forms of speech are magic. فإذا جاءك رجل بليغ فصيح. If a man came to you very prolific, very amazing in his speech, وصار يورد عليك الشبهات والشكوك ألست تنخدع بقوله. And he brings all kinds of doubts and points of confusion. Don't you find that such a person could trick you? And you could be deceived by such a person? Bala, of course. فَهَؤُلَاءِ الْمُكَذِّبُونَ. And such people who disbelieve the Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, rejecting the messenger, may Allah raise his rank and grant him peace. عندهم فصاحة. عندهم فصاحة وبلاغة وتمويه ودجل. They had good speech and oratory skills, the ability to address people and to dress up false things as being good and deception. فَيَصْرِفُونَ النَّاسِ. So they would turn the people away. وَقَوْلُهُ مَنْ أُفِكْ. And whoever has been turned away. هَلَ الْمُرَادُ مَنْ قَدَّرَ اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ أَنْ يُصْرَفْ. Is the meaning here the one that Allah had determined from his qadr to be turned away and led astray? أو المراد من أفك أي من صرفه هؤلاء المختلفون. Or is it that the one who's been led astray by those people with their differing? With their differing. هما متلازمان أيضا. These two meanings also come together. They coexist. فإن هؤلاء الذين يضلون الناس. For verily those people who try to lead others astray, لا يمكنوا أن يضلوهم إلا بإذن الله. They don't lead anyone astray except by the permission of Allah, عز وجل, the mighty and majestic. ومن يضلل الله فما له من هاد. And whoever Allah leads astray, then there can be no guide for him. ومن يهدي الله فما له من مضل. And whoever Allah guides, then there could be no one to lead him astray. That's from Surah Az-Zumar, the 36th and 37th verses. فَهُمُ الَّذِينَ يَأْفِكُونَ النَّاسِ أي يَصْرِفُونَهُمْ فَهُمُ السَّبَبُ. They're the ones who lead the people astray. They're the ones turning people away, so they're the cause. لَكِنَ الْمُقَدِّرُ لِلصَّرْفِ هُوَ اللَّهِ. However, the one who has made it his determination, his will, his qadr, to turn them away, it is Allah ultimately. عَزَّ وَجَلَّ, the mighty and majestic. وَلَكِنِ اعْلَمْ أَخِي الْمُسْلِمِ. However, you should know, my brother Muslim, أَنَّهُ لَا يُمْكِنْ أَنْ يُصْرَفَ عَنِ الْحَقِّ إِلَّا مَنْ عَلِمَ اللَّهُ مِنْهُ أَنَّهُ لَيْسَ أَهْلًا لِلْحَقِّ. It is not for anyone that Allah would turn him away from the truth, except one whom Allah Ta'ala knows from him with clear knowledge that he is not deserving of the truth. Nas'alullah as-salama. We ask Allah Ta'ala for safety. وَلِهَذَا قَالَ اللَّهُ تَعَالَى. And with this meaning, Allah, the Most High, has said, Allahu a'lamu haythu yaja'alu risalatah. Allah knows best where He places His message, His risala. وَكَذَلِكَ اللَّهُ أَعْلَمُ حَيْثُ يَجْعَلُ رِسَالَتَهُ فِي الَّذِينَ يَمْتَثِلُونَهَا وَيُؤْمِنُونَ بِهَا. And Allah Ta'ala knows best about where He has given His message, His revelation, to the people who would carry out its orders and believe in it. وَيَدُلُّ عَلَى هَذَا الَّذِي قُلْنَا قَوْلُ اللَّهِ تَبَارَكُ وَتَعَالَى. And this meaning that we have mentioned is proven by the statement of Allah, the High and the Most High and the Most Blessed. فَلَمَّا زَاغُوا أَزَاغَ اللَّهُ قُلُوبَهُمْ. And when they deviated, when the children of Israel deviated, we caused their hearts to deviate. From Surah As-Saff, the fifth verse. وَلَكِنْ إِحْذَرْ. However, be warned. إِذَا رَأَيْتَ ضَالًا أَنْ تَقُولْ هَذَا لَيْسَ أَهْلًا الْهِدَايَةِ. You see someone astray, don't say this person is not fit to be guided. لِأَنَّ هُنَاكَ فَرْقًا بَيْنِ الْقَوْلِ بِالْعُمُومِ وَالْقَوْلِ بِالْتَعْيِينِ. There's a difference between making a statement that is general and applying it to an individual specifically. فَالْقَوْلُ بِالْتَعْيِينِ حَرَامٌ. It's not allowed to apply a ruling like this to an individual specifically. لِأَنَّكَ قَدْ تَرَى شَخْصًا ضَالًا وَتَقُولُ هَذَا لَا يَهْتَدِي. You could see a person who's astray, and then you could say, well, this person is not rightly guided. He's not going to be rightly guided. وَإِذَا بِهِ يَهْدِيهِ اللَّهُ عَزَّ وَجَلَّ. And then you find him that Allah actually guided him. Allah the Mighty and Majestic. وَالْعَكْسُ بِالْعَكْسِ. And you could say the opposite, that someone's rightly guided, but yet Allah Ta'ala later misguides him. رُبَمَا تَرَى شَخْصًا مُسْتَقِيمًا تَقُولُ. You might see a good upright person and say, هَذَا لَا يُمْكِنْ أَنْ يَضِلْ. This person is not going to go astray. No way. فَإِذَا بِهِ يُضِلُّهُ اللَّهُ. Suddenly you see that Allah has sent him astray. فَإِيَّاكَ أَن تَشْهَدَ عَلَى مُعَيَّنٍ. Be warned and do not testify about individuals and make rulings on individuals. لَكِنْ حَقِيقَةً أَنَّكَ إِذَا رَأَيْتَ ضَالًا مُتَمَرِّدًا مُسْتَكْبِرًا عَنِ الْحَقِّ. Reality though, if you do see a person who's astray, and he's arrogant and rebellious against the truth, فَإِنَّكَ بِقَلْبِكَ تَسْتَبْعِدُ أَنَّ اللَّهَ يَهْدِيهِ. In reality, you would feel in your heart that it's very, very far off that Allah would guide such a person. لَكِنْ لَا تَقُلْ إِنَّ اللَّهَ لَا يَهْدِيهِ. However, don't say Allah is not going to guide him. فَفِي سُنَنِ أَبِي دَاوُدَ عَنْ أَبِي هُرَيْرَةَ رَضِيَ اللَّهُ عَنْهُ. As there is a hadith in the book called the Sunan of Imam Abu Dawood, from the narration of Abu Hurairah, may Allah be pleased with him. He said, قَالَ سَمِعْتُ رَسُولَ اللَّهِ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمْ يَقُولُ. I heard the Messenger of Allah صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمْ saying, كَانَ رَجُلَانِ فِي بَنِي إِسْرَائِيلِ مُتَوَاخِيَيْنِ. There were two people from the children of Israel that were on two different pathways. فَكَانَ أَحَدُهُمَا يُذْنِبْ وَالْآخَرُ مُجْتَهِدٌ فِي الْعِبَادَةِ. One of them was a sinner, the other one was dedicated to his worship. فَكَانَ لَا يَزَالُ الْمُجْتَهِدُ يَرَى الْآخَرُ عَلَى ذَنْ فَيَقُولْ أَقْصِرْ. And the person who was worshipping Allah devoutly, he would always see the other one sinning and say, stop it. فَوَجَدَهُ يَوْمًا عَلَى ذَنْبٍ فَقَالَ لَهُ أَقْصِرْ. So he saw him sinning one day, as normal, and he said, stop it. فَقَالَ خَلِّنِي وَرَبِّي. Leave me and my Lord. أَبْعِثْتَ عَلَيَّ رَقِيبًا. Have you been sent as a watcher over me? فَقَالَ وَاللَّهِ لَا يَغْفِرُ اللَّهُ لَكَ. So the man said as a response, I swear by Allah that Allah is not going to forgive you. Allah is not going to forgive you. أو لا يدخلك الجنة. Or Allah is not, maybe he said, Allah is not going to let you go to paradise. فَقُبِلَ أَرْوَاحُهُمَا. So their souls were taken, they died. فَاجْتَمَعَا عِنْدَ رَبِّ الْعَالَمِينَ. And they were gathered to رَبِّ الْعَالَمِينَ. فَقَالَ هَذَا الْمُجْتَهِدِ أَكُنْتَ بِي عَالِمًا. So Allah said to the dedicated person, to his worship, he said, were you someone who knows all about me? And you have full knowledge of me? Allah is addressing such a person. أَوَكُنْتَ عَلَى مَا فِي يَدَيَّ قَادِرًا. Or you have some ability to have some control over what's in my hand? وَقَالَ لِلْمُذْنِبِ. He said to the sinful person, اِذْهَبْ فَادْخُلِ الْجَنَّةَ بِرَحْمَتِي. Go and enter the paradise by my mercy. وَقَالَ لِلْآخَرِ اِذْهَبُوا بِهِ إِلَى النَّارِ. Said to the other one, take this one to the hellfire. قَالَ أَبُو هُرَيْرَةَ. Abu Huraira said, وَالَّذِي نَفْسِي بِيَدِهِ لَتَكَلَّمَ بِكَلِمَةٍ أَوْبَقَتْ دُنْيَاهُ وَأُخْرَاهُ. I swear by the one who my soul is in his hand, that man spoke with a single word that corrupted and ruined his whole worldly life and his hereafter. Allah Akbar. أخرجه أبو داود. This hadith is in Abu Dawood, the Sunan of Abu Dawood, number 4901. Sheikh Al-Albani said about this hadith as a note, it is sahih. وفي رواية مسلم. And a narration, or a version of this narration collected by Muslim, وقال الله تعالى من الذي يتألى علي أن لا أغفر لفلان. Who's the one bold enough to say about me that I shall not forgive so and so? إني قد غفرت له وأحببت عملك. Verily I have forgiven him and I have rendered your deeds null and void. That's from Sahih Muslim, as mentioned by our Shaykh, نسأل الله العافية. As you can see right here, we ask Allah for safety and for security and for a clean slate. Pausing from reading the words of the Shaykh, as you can see, our Shaykh Ibn Uthaymeen loved to tie the issues of tafsir that were related to the tafsir of what he was teaching to everyday life, to the real application of a Muslim of his religion, to make the lesson that we get from the Quran something that we can live, to bring it right to our lives. And we ask Allah Ta'ala to cause our hearts to be open and receptive to these kinds of admonitions from the greatest of the people of knowledge. لِهَذَا لَا تَعْجَبْ بِنَفْسِكَ. Thus, don't be impressed with yourself. وَلَا تَيْأَسْ مِنْ رَحْمَةِ اللَّهِ فَلَا يَتَعَلَّقْ بِكَ فِي مَا يَتَعَلَّقُ بِكَ وَلَا تَيْأَسْ مِنْ رَحْمَةِ اللَّهِ فِي مَا يَتَعَلَّقُ بِكَ. And do not give up hope in the mercy of Allah as it relates to what He can do for you. وَلَا فِي مَا يَتَعَلَّقُ بِغَيْرِكَ. Nor as it relates to what Allah might do for others. فَإِنَّ اللَّهَ تَعَالَى عَلَى كُلِّ شَيْءٍ قَدِيرٍ. So don't give up in the mercy of Allah for yourself or others, for verily Allah is all-powerful over everything. لَكِنْ نَعْلَمْ عَلَى سَبِيلِ الْعُمُومِ أَنَّ الْإِنسَانِ إِذَا لَمْ يَكُنْ أَهْلًا لِلْهِدَايَةِ فَإِنَّهُ لَنْ يَهْتَدِي. We know in reality that in general, without specifying a ruling on individuals, that people, when they're not deserving of guidance, then they're not going to be guided. فَإِذَا رَأَيْنَا هَذَا الشَّخْصَ مُنْحَرِفًا مُسْتَكْبِرًا مُعَانِدًا فَلَا شَكَّ أَنَّهُ يَغْلَبْ عَلَى ظَنِّنَا أَنَّهُ لَيْسَ أَهْلًا لِلْهِدَايَةِ. So when we see a person that is deviant and arrogant and rejecting the truth, no doubt that it's on our minds, and it seems to be the case that he is not befitting, or he is not deserving of guidance. لَكِنْ لَيْسَ لَنَا أَن نَنْطِقَ بِذَلِكَ. Pay attention. However, it's not for us to speak with that idea. وَيَحْرُمُ أَن نَنْطِقَ بِذَلِكَ. In fact, it is haram for us to speak with that idea. يُخْشَى وَيُخْشَى أَن يُقَالَ لَنَا كَمَا قِيلَ لِهَذَا الرَّجُلِ قَدْ غَفَرْتُ لَهُ وَأَحْبَعْتُ
وَأَحْبَطْتُ وَأَحْبَطْتُ عَمَلَكَ.
As we would fear that it could be said to us what was said to the man in this hadith. Verily I have forgiven you and I have rendered your actions. Verily I have forgiven this man and I have rendered your actions null and void.
وَهُنَا مَسْأَلَةٌ مُهِمَّةٌ
وَهُنَا مَسْأَلَةٌ مُهِمَّةٌ وَهِيَ الْفَرْقُ بَيْنَ التَّعْيِينِ وَالْإِطْلَاقِ. Here's an important issue, and that is to distinguish between general rulings and specifying individuals with a ruling.
فَنَحْنُ مَثَلًا نَشْهَدُ لِكُلِّ مُؤْمِنٍ بِأَنَّهُ فِي الْجَنَّةِ.
For an example, we testify that every believer will go to paradise.
لكن إذا رأينا شخصا مستقيما ويصلي ويزكي ويصوم ويحج ويتصدق ويحسن ويبر والديه ويصل رحمه.
We see a man, he's upright, he prays, he gives his zakat, he fasts, he makes hajj, he gives in charity, he does well, he is kind or he is dutiful to his parents, he keeps family ties.
فلا نشهد بأنه في الجنة.
We don't testify that he is in paradise.
لأن التعيين شيء والإجمال شيء آخر.
That's because specifying someone with a ruling specifically for him is one thing, and saying a general idea is another thing altogether.
وَإِذَا رَأَيْنَا رَجُلًا كَافِرًا مُلْحِدًا مُسَلَّطًا عَلَى الْمُسْلِمِينَ مُسَلَّطًا أو مُسَلَّطًا عَلَى الْمُسْلِمِينَ.
If we see a kafir, disbeliever, atheist, animosity and attacking the Muslims,
يُمَزِّقُ كِتَابَ اللَّهِ,
ripping up the book of Allah,
وَيَدُوسُهُ بِرِجْلَيْهِ
وَيَسْتَهْزِئُ بِاللَّهِ, putting his feet on the book of Allah, mocking Allah wa rasulihi, mocking his messenger.
فلا نقول, we don't say هذا من أهل النار,
this individual is from the people of the fire.
بل نقول,
rather we say
من فعل هذا فهو من أهل النار,
whoever does this is from the people of the fire.
بلا تعيين,
without any
تعيين,
without any specific ruling on him.
لأنه من الجائز في آخر لحظة أو في آخر لحظة أن يمن الله عليه ويهديه.
Could be in the very last moment of this person's life, Allah could bless him and guide him.
فأنت لا تدري, and you have no knowledge of that.
لذلك يجب التفريق بين التعيين والإطلاق. And thus it is important to make a distinction between تعيين, applying rulings to individuals, and mentioning things in general.
وَتَعْيِينُ وَالْإِجْمَالِ,
or another way of expressing it, تَعْيِينُ, specifying individuals with rulings, and speaking generally.
فَإِذَا مَاتَ رَجُلٌ وَنَحْنُ نَعْرِفُ أَنَّهُ مَاتَ عَلَى النَّصْرَانِيَّةِ
حَسَبَ مَا يَبْدُو لَنَا مِنْ حَالِهِ. If we know of a person who died as a Christian, based on everything that we can see in his situation,
فَلَا نَشْهَدُ لَهُ بِالنَّارِ,
we do not say he's in the fire. We do not testify with conviction or with certainty that he's in the fire.
لِأَنَّهُ إِن كَانَ مِنْ أَهْلِ النَّارِ فَسَيَدْخُلُ وَلَوْ لَمْ نَشْهَدْ
وَلَوْ لَمْ نَشْهَدْ. If he's really from the people of the fire, he's going to enter the fire whether we testify or not.
وَإِن لَمْ يَكُنْ مِنْ أَهْلِ النَّارِ فَشَهَادَتُنَا شَهَادَةٌ بِغَيْرِ عِلْمٍ.
If he's not from the people of the fire, then our testimony is testimony without knowledge.
فَمِثْلُ هَذِهِ الْمَسَائِلِ لَا دَاعِ لَهَا.
So these kinds of issues, there's no justifiable reason for us to get involved with them.
فَلَوْ قَالَ قَائِلٌ,
if a person said, مَاتَ رَجُلٌ مِنَ الرُّوسِ مِنَ الْمُلْحِدِينَ مَاتَ رَجُلٌ مِنَ الْأَمْرِيكَانِ مِنَ الْمُلْحِدِينَ مِنْهُمْ, if a person died from Russia, he's an atheist, or an atheist from America, he died.
مَاتَ رَجُلٌ مِنَ الْيَهُودِ مِنَ الْمُلْحِدِينَ,
an atheist from amongst the Jews died.
إِلْعَنْهُ وَاشْهَدْ لَهُ بِالنَّارِ.
We don't say, curse him, and testify that he's in the fire.
نَقُول لَا يُمْكِن.
We say that's not possible.
نَحْن نَقُول,
we say, مَنْ مَاتَ عَلَى هَذَا فَهُوَ مِنْ أَهْلِ النَّارِ, whoever dies on this, then he's from the people of the hellfire.
وَمَنْ مَاتَ عَلَى هَذَا لَعَنَّاهُ,
whoever dies upon this kind of thing, then we curse him. أما الشخص المعين فلا. As for the individual, then no. ولهذا كان من عقيدة أهل السنة والجماعة قالوا لا نشهد لأحد بالجنة أو بالنار إلا لمن شهد له النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم. And thus, from the basic beliefs of Ahl al-Sunnah, the people of the Sunnah and the Jama'ah, is that they said, we don't testify for any person individually that he's in paradise or in the fire, except those that have been identified and testified for by the Messenger, by the Prophet, may Allah raise his rank and grant him peace. وَلَكِنَّنَا نَرْجُو لِلْمُحْسِنِ وَنَخَافُ عَلَى الْمَسِيئِ هَذِهِ عَقِيدَةُ أَهْلِ السُّنَّةِ وَالْجَمَاعَةِ. However, we have hopes. We feel good, and we have hopes for the one who does well, and we fear, and we're afraid for the one who does evil things. This is the belief and the way of Ahlus Sunnah wal Jama'ah. And with that, we've reached the first out of our 8 parts of discussion of Surah Al-Dhariyat, not Juz'u Al-Dhariyat, but we will study, insha'Allah ta'ala, Surah Al-Dhariyat, the Surah alone, in 8 parts, in 8 lectures, insha'Allah ta'ala. And being that this is the beginning of Rajab, this should take us right near the end of Sha'ban, which means that Ramadan will be about a week away, insha'Allah ta'ala. Naam. And with that, our administration at Mirath at NBI will make decisions about the schedule of what we're doing here for the month of Ramadan and how that will change possibly and so on. With that, we close. And I'd like to add one more point of clarification that the Shaykh talked about. The hukum, the ruling on individuals and general statements regarding the hereafter. I don't want anyone to be confused on this point. But regarding the dunya, It is not correct to apply the words of our Shaykh here to the dunya rulings on people, and to reject when a scholar or a qualified person who knows the situation of someone that he has disbelieved or fallen into bid'ah, that when they rule on him that he is either a disbeliever, a fasiq, a mubtadi', when a person qualified to make such a ruling makes a ruling on a person with the Islamic guidelines in place, then we don't say he has done what our Shaykh has warned us against in this lesson. The Shaykh was talking about a ruling on a person for the hereafter. Even the person that we know for sure, he openly says, I have no Lord, I worship nothing, I don't acknowledge any ghaib at all, a straight atheist. We don't say he's in the hellfire. We say he's a kafir. We say he's a mulhid, we say he's an atheist, based on his own statements and his own beliefs. But we can't say he will die on that. And so therefore he is from the people of the hellfire. We can't say he'll die on that. We can say right now, the proof's been established. We can say right now, perhaps in some situations, not in every situation, but he deserves the ruling of mubtadi', or kafir, or fasiq, or kadhab, or such and such ruling. This does not mean that this is the state that he will die upon. That should be really clear, so that we don't get people who say, ah, look, Shaykh Ibn Taymiyyah told us we can never make rulings on people for anything. No, the Shaykh was talking about the rulings that relate to the hereafter. And he was not talking about making rulings on people as it relates to this dunya. As that is a necessity that we have as human beings, we need to know who is a trustworthy, honest witness in a court case. So we have to make a ruling on a person, that he's reliable or not reliable, acceptable as a witness or not acceptable. People want to spread the deen of Allah, so we have to make decisions based on Islamic principles. Who is worthy? Who is reliable? Who is trustworthy based on our religion that we should take knowledge from? And who is not? And we make decisions and we make rulings on people based on those guidelines. That doesn't mean we've opposed the teachings of our Shaykh in this lesson, because we're not saying with any of those things that means he will die and go to the hellfire forever. La. We're saying based on what we have seen from him, then such and such is the ruling. I hope that this might clarify a point of assumption that some people could have reached. And Allah Ta'ala knows best. That's what Allah made easy for us in our very first sitting in our sittings in explanation of Surah Al-Dariyat and inshaAllah Juz' Al-Dariyat. We ask Allah Ta'ala to bless us with understanding of His book. We ask Allah to bless us with knowledge and implementation of what is in His book and what is from the Sunnah of His Messenger Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, with sincerity and hoping for the paradise and fearing the hellfire. هذا والله أعلم وصل اللهم وسلم وبارك على نبينا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين والسلام عليكم ورحمة الله.